passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce of the Prospect Team, and I'm here, as always, with our lead fantasy analyst, Dylan White. Dylan, how's it going, man? I heard a rumor. You can confirm if it's true or not, but you were in first place in your Tout Wars League. Is that true?
That is true. But it's very early in the season, halfway through the season, so... not counting my chickens before they hatch yet.
Oh no. I'm not saying that you're going to win it. I'm just saying that you're in first. We're just about at the halfway point. Got the All-Star break next week. You know, you're looking good. I myself am not. Had a bad turn of events in my head-to-head tout league. I think I told you I'm 2-6 over the last 8 weeks. Despite scoring a fair amount of points, I keep running into the best team week after week in this format. So I think I'm an eighth in that league, something like that, but only a game out of the playoff contention. So I'm not dead yet, Dylan. I'm going to try to make some moves, make some things happen. That being said, we got a new RoboScout article up on the site this week. Thought this was an interesting one. I don't know if you want to touch on any of that. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot. But I thought there were some interesting names that you had sort of highlighted now that we're getting a little bit deeper into the various complex league seasons.
Yeah, I think there's two things that are interesting. I like when the complex league and Dominican Summer League starts getting kind of deeper in and you get to find the real pop-ups, the real sleepers, the deep names that maybe weren't gracing a bunch of lists. You see how the guys with all the pre-hype, like Rainer Arias, Sebastian Wolcott, those guys, how they're doing or are some kind of flopping. It's always interesting. So a predominant part of the article is about Complex League and Dominican Summer League. And then there's the guys where I look at last 30 days, and because RoboScout's pretty robust, pretty sticky because of the regression it uses, you can actually get some pretty good names. And so like guys like Victor Barricado, Johan Rojas, guys who are hot in the last month, but maybe their hotness would be buried in the full season stats. You may not notice that they're doing so well. Austin Shenton, of course, as well. And you get to see like Kobe Mayo being so hot as well. Like he's one of the hottest hitters in baseball. And maybe only one person's hotter. And maybe we'll touch on him later in this episode. But another article coming up this week. I have some names already. I see some DSL and complex names that are doing quite well this week. So look for that this week. I'm also doing the Dynasty 600 update, plugging away at that. Hope to have that in the next week or so. A lot of movement, as you can imagine. Eli De La Cruz, Yuri Perez have slightly moved upward in the rankings. So looking forward to releasing that as well.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what you've been working on there myself. One guy I wanted to touch on here was actually somebody that I had missed last week. while I was sorry, my son came downstairs and decided to say goodnight to me and was not wearing his hearing aids. So I had to kind of motion at him and say, hey, I'm on a podcast here. But anyway, this guy was promoted from AA earlier this week, was actually in the area last week, but I was going to bounce around a couple different games. And he sat in the game that I was going to. And then the next game, the next night, was canceled. So didn't get an opportunity to see him again. I've seen him previously. But that is Colt Keith, Detroit Tigers prospect. He was promoted to AAA. Played his first game while we were recording this on Wednesday. Hit a home run in his first at bat. I think it was 102 miles per hour off the bat. Maybe it was like 430 feet, something like that. Might be exaggerating on the length, but I think I heard 430. But either way, a bomb. He's notably one of my favorite position prospects in the game. Definitely is for fantasy too. I was having a conversation with somebody last night with a couple of analysts actually, and I was kind of bringing him up as like, is this guy in the conversation for like that top 10 like positional prospect right now? Especially when you look at just the underlying skills, bats and ball skills, he's got a low zone miss rate, you know, chase rate is excellent, I think it's about 20% or so, and he hits the ball really, really hard, consistently hard. So he has good exit data like across the board with all the different metrics we look at. So kind of interesting. What are your thoughts on Colt Keith?
I really like Colt Keith. He is number two on RoboScout for AA. So of all the players who played AA, he's number two behind Kobe Mayo. And he's the guy, Colt Keith is the guy I'm talking about, who's probably the hottest in the league. He, if you look at Steamer, because they have it right there in front of you, his projections and Jordan Walker's projections are very close. And they're basically the same age. They're in their age 21 seasons. They're both kind of projected to peak at around 267, 340, 25 home runs, few stolen bases. And I was trying to find a good analog to compare it to. And Manny Machado, I'm just looking at third baseman. Manny Machado in Steamer is projected to have a 120 WRC plus this year. He's having a bad season, and he's in his age 30 season, so he's only going to go down from there. So it's kind of like Colt Keith and Jordan Walker are going to be what Manny Machado is projected to be, you know, this year, last year. So they have very high ceilings, as you know, Jordan Walker does. But Colt Keith, I guess the whole point of this is I'm saying Colt Keith is like Jordan Walker, and what people like about Manny Machado this year in redraft, that's what Colt Keith can be. He may be arguably better than Josh Young, who's 25. So, yeah, I think people are sleeping on Colt Keith. I know, yeah,
more raw power, I think, than Young, too.
Yeah, I agree, too. So, yeah, I think Colt Keith is going to be quite high in the dynasty rankings I'm about to do. He may even surpass Josh Young. I don't know yet, but he's in that ballpark. So yeah, Colt Keith's great. Great. Yeah, I think he hit a home run today in his first triple A at bat or whatever. Yeah, it was his first.
Yeah, that was what I said in the opening, Joe. I said he hit a home run in his first triple A at bat, actually. I guess the one thing I want to bring up, because somebody said this, and you know, I don't necessarily believe it, but I'll throw out the devil's advocate take. How much does it concern you that he is a Tigers hitting prospect, which we know it's not a great environment to hit in there in Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is true. The Steamer projections or the projections I run are based on WRC plus, and so because he plays in Comerica, it's gonna be down a bit from what someone with the same WRC plus would have in Coors or Great American Ballpark, but. Yeah, I mean, they brought in the fences a bit too, right? And now the Tigers also have a pretty good lineup starting to grow. Torkelson and Riley Green are starting to kind of get closer to what we thought they would be.
Yeah, Green should be back soon. So
Green
yeah.
should be back soon. So I'm not too worried. It'll throttle some of his production, sure, but it's not going to be where he's like, this is someone you should avoid because the park is bad.
Yeah,
I think the bat clearly plays and will play. And, you know, that's going to transcend any of the park effects, I think.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, absolutely. 100% agree. But I did think it was at least an interesting point just to add context to the conversation. And I don't think it's a totally unreasonable reason to maybe avoid a Tigers hitting prospect until further notice. It's not something I subscribe to. I had Riley Green all over the place as a prospect. I got Cole Kuechel all over the place as a prospect. Another prospect that I have in quite a few places rostered, and was disappointed a little bit in the early going, but I understand it's a young pitching prospect. Dylan, I want to ask, have you been paying attention to Grayson Rodriguez since he was demoted to AAA?
I have. I haven't looked too hard at the StatCast data from after his demotion. But I have seen the superficial numbers. I've seen the strikeout to walk rate. I've seen he's been pretty dominant, to be honest. I have him stashed in one of my NFBC leagues, so that's why I've been paying attention. I'm looking forward to his return, which I think must be imminent. It must be, you know, in the next couple of weeks. Brandon Pfaadt's back today, and so if Brandon Pfaadt's back, I think Grayson Rodriguez has to be back soon too. Maybe it'll be just right after the All-Star break, but I'm really looking forward to it. I think he's going to pick up where he left off. At least that's what I'm hoping. Sure. I think he's just working out some kinks. Do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, no, I was kind of looking at the superficial data as well. The StatCast stuff has looked like Grayson. You know, I don't think there was any inconsistencies there. It's just he pitched again tonight. He pitched pretty well. Once again, and that kind of, you know, continues this streak of really four good consecutive starts for him at AAA. But, you know, went six innings, four hits, had two runs, but only one earned, one walk, eight strikeouts, did allow a home run as well. But prior to that, even coming into this game, it's 3-0 over his last four starts in AAA, 2.42 ERA. 31 strikeouts to 11 walks over 22 innings. Has allowed, three homers now with the last one. But, you know, 341 FIP, 34.1% K rate, 12% walk rate. So there's still some walks in there. But, you know, tonight was a better showing in that regard with only one walk. The homer, obviously. There's still some command stuff there, I think. But he's performing. It's good to see him getting deeper into games, throwing strikes, building back up. You know, I don't see any reason, you know, the Orioles wouldn't give him an opportunity just for the way that rotation looks. I wanted to sort of bring it up because it was something that when he was struggling, I think it was right before the demotion, we had sort of discussed how you had to hold on to this one and, you know, really couldn't panic. And I think, you know, we're looking at a situation now where he could easily be back up in the major leagues within the next couple of weeks and maybe finds his groove. We've seen that before. I know I'm going back a few years here and this guy has since lost it. But I remember Jose Berrios sort of coming up the first time, struggling with, I think it was the major league ball that he blamed it on. But whatever, you know, did some work on the side, figured out what it was, and then came back up and was really good over the early going of his career when he was with the Twins. So, you know, we've seen this movie before. It wouldn't shock me. We've seen lesser pitching prospects, which Berrios was as good of a pitching prospect as he was. He wasn't Grayson Rodriguez level. So, you know, I do think he could be somebody that could be back in this rotation fairly shortly. You know, I don't know if they go to a six man, if, you know, they pull somebody out, of the rotation that they have right now. That's obviously, you know, a question I can't answer, but they do have Cole Irvin in that. And, you know, I mean, come on, Cole Irvin has a 7 ERA right now. And I don't think I think it's like an 8 FIP. So I picked a nicer number. Yeah. I mean, I don't see any reason why, you know, Grayson couldn't potentially be up very shortly. So agree with that.
I mean, not including today's performance, which I think you said 8 strikeouts and 6 innings or something. His swinging strike rate, Grayson Rodriguez's swinging strike rate in AAA, is higher than Gavin Williams was. And he has a higher ground ball rate. He has a higher swinging strike rate than Andrew Abbott had in AAA. Brandon Fatt, JP France. I'm just naming AAA guys that came up. Louis Varland. Yeah. So he's still got the swing and miss on his stuff. I guess it's the matter to the command, like you said, the higher walk rate. But, you know, it looks like he's starting to get that in check. So I'm looking forward to him coming back. I'm looking forward to him to be possibly a game changer in redraft for those who held on.
Yeah, absolutely. Smart play by you, stashing him in the league that you have him in. Agree with that. Why don't we take a quick break right now? We'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, and we're back. This is a bigger conversation I wanted to kind of throw out there, Dylan. We talked about who we thought was the most sort of underrated fantasy prospect, you know, hitting prospect. We talked about that a little bit last week. I wanted to talk a little bit this week about a pitching prospect that has either caught your eye or RoboScout's eye or both of your eyes, some sort of a joined robotic suit that Dylan's wearing, whether it's got like an eye, like Terminator comes over. I'm just rambling now, but I want to see if there was any names that had gotten yours recently, because Christian Scott is one for me. Mets pitching prospect, I think he was a reliever actually at Florida. He's really broke out this year and looks really, really interesting. But I wanted to hear, you know, if you had some names as well. I could certainly dive into Scott in a moment.
Yeah, for this one, because I kind of talk about the guys that caught my eye in the weekly RoboScout articles, I think I'm going to look at the Complex League. And there are two guys at the top. Yimi Presinal, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, for the Royals. He hasn't started a game, but each of his outings have basically been 3 to 4 innings. He's just been filthy. He has a swinging strike rate of 47%. He's got a K percentage of 48% with a walk percentage of 6%. It's just dominant. He's actually number one in RoboScout for the Complex. And then there's also Reynaldo Yin for the Dodgers. He is a pure reliever. He was in the Dominican Summer League last year. He topped out at 100. I think he's topped out at 102 this year. When you throw that hard, you're going to dominate the Complex League, of course. He's got a slider as well. It's low mid 80s, but he's dominating as well. His K minus BB percentage is like 54%. It's basically one inning stints, but I think his ERA is 0. His WHIP is like 0.25. It's basically very dominant. He's a reliever, so you know, maybe don't get too excited, but. Yeah, those are two names. Jun-Suk Shim of the Pirates. We've talked about him a couple times. He hits 100. He's a 19-year-old of the Complex for the Pirates. international signing. His K-minus BB is off the charts too. So basically those three guys have just been rendering the complex league hitters hapless as they just blow their fastballs by them. But if you don't want someone who's just, you know, pure filth and possibly relief only, there's Santiago Suarez of the Tampa Bay Rays. He was on the Marlins. I can't remember the trade, but he went to the Rays. He's got, you know, all the starter kind of things you like: good body, good repeatable mechanics, a wide arsenal. His numbers on the face of it aren't as dominant. He only has a 32% K rate. You know, his swinging strike rate isn't as high as some of these other guys in the complex league, but he's 18. Tampa Bay Rays know what they're doing in their development. So he's actually probably, of those four names I talked about, he's probably the one that has the best chance of making it to the major leagues, especially as a starter. And so he's probably the name I would choose of those four I talked about, Santiago Suarez.
Nice. Yeah. Very, very interesting stuff. But yeah. And the name that I was going to bring up, as I said, was Christian Scott. He's just been dominant, like, really since he's come back. I think, you know, he missed the first month of the season. But, you know, overall across technically three levels, because he did have one very short appearance in high A, 38 innings, 47 Ks, you know, to six walks. So the command has been pretty good. You know, has by and large limited hard contact, keeps the ball on the ground. He's a 50% plus ground ball rate guy. And just an overall, like, really interesting arsenal. I think the Mets have done some stuff with him since he left Florida. He ditched a two seam. Now is more of a four seam guy. You know, the shape on it is pretty good. So he's a name that, you know, I think is very interesting and could be one that's sort of an underrated potential, you know, addition here in a variety of fantasy leagues. Sometimes it's guys like this that make a change and then sort of slowly creep up into relevancy. He's in Double A now. So this is a guy that, you know, it's kind of only like a call away. It's not too long. You know, he was a 2021 draft guy, so he's still got another year until he is Rule 5 eligible. But, you know, the Mets might be desperate. If they make some trades, this could be a guy that, you know, a less talented team, an organization that might bring up some youth, could potentially trade for. And maybe this is a guy that we see in the major leagues by the end of the season, August or September or something like that. But I think he's very interesting. That, you know, the swing and miss and K numbers sort of speak for themselves. You know, I think he's had, 32-33% K rate throughout the season with like a sub 5% walk rate, and hasn't been like overly lucky in terms of his like left on base rate and, you know, batting average on balls in play, et cetera, stuff like that. So the underlying numbers are really good, you know, over his entire season. His FIP is 2.02. It's actually lower than his 2.58 ERA. So kind of goes to show you how well Scott has been pitching. I think this is a name that's going to come up for sure. He's actually somebody that I think Nate Handy had put me onto him earlier in the season. It's like, hey, I think this guy might be a breakout. And then watched a couple starts and was pretty impressed. And met Eddie, you know, who covers our Mets coverage on the site, was like, hey, Christian Scott, definitely a name that you want to know. So that's the guy that I wanted to bring up. I suppose there could be others that I throw out there as well.
I just wanted to add, like, his performance in, you know, just over 12 innings, I guess. I don't know how up to date my numbers are here. Maybe there was a start I've missed. But his numbers at 24 in AA are very, very favorable and compare very favorably to Gavin Williams at 23. Age 23 and Double A, their K percentage, walk percentage, K minus walk percentage, WHIP for both like 0.63. The swing strike rates are very close. But the difference is Christian Scott, like you said, is a ground ball machine. He has a over 50% ground ball rate. Gavin Williams was 21% when he was in Double A, and he's actually been unluckier than Gavin Williams, as you said about the left on base. His left on base was like 75% compared to Gavin Williams, which was 80%. So I'm not saying he's Gavin Williams, but I'm saying if you just looked at face value at Double A, their performances this year, Christian Scott actually would probably project to have a better peak than Gavin Williams, just based on this short stint that he's had so far at Double A. So I think that's a great call. And I think it's these guys who start their seasons late, who haven't accrued the innings, and so you haven't heard their names as, like, you know, they're leading their level in strikeouts and things like that, or this guy's got promoted because he's dominating. Those guys stay under the radar. So, like, the Christian Scotts, because they've only thrown, you know, just under 12 innings, or you know, Cade Horton started the season a bit late. Noah Schultz, who's just starting to pitch late. These are guys who, you know, your league mates may not be totally on. Maybe Cade Horton and Noah Schultz, they would be. They're just waiting. But it's the performances are so new that you can maybe sneak them before their true value kind of becomes apparent.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there for sure. You know, another name that I'll throw out there as well that I absolutely love, actually a couple, are Spencer Arrighetti. I think we've talked about him on previous podcasts. He's a guy that moved up on the Astros rankings. I think he's going to continue to do so. He's pitched really well in a very difficult hitting or pitching environment in the Texas League in Corpus Christi, where it's fairly shallow down the lines. You know, since May 1st, sub 2 ERA over that period of time. He's got 66 strikeouts to 16 walks over 46 innings. This is since the 1st of May. He's right there with Chase Hampton over that period, another guy that we like a lot, but I don't want to keep on beating the Chase Hampton drum to death, as he's pitched fairly well. One guy I want to bring up that I had seen earlier in May when I went up to New York City, went up to Brooklyn, and I caught, you know, three or four games against Aberdeen there and Jackson Holliday, if you recall, saw a pitcher by the name of Alex Pham, just like Tommy Pham last name. Had they gotten a later round, I think out of the University of San Francisco, he pitched really well that day. He's performed really well across a couple of levels now. Over 43 innings pitched, 62 strikeouts to 18 walks with a 1.88 ERA since the beginning of May. He's another really sort of exciting name there that I'm looking at as somebody, you know, missing a lot of bats, performing really well. Of course, you know about Cole Phillips. And I think, did we talk about Wilkel Gonzalez last week or no? Wilkerman Gonzalez last week. I just got this name all the time. He's another guy that's been absolutely tearing it up since the beginning of May. He's 5-0 over his last nine starts, 2.89 ERA, 43.2 innings pitched, 73 strikeouts. He's second in the minor league since the beginning of May in strikeouts behind just Cole Phillips. 21 walks as well, only 4 home runs allowed. Those are really, really exciting numbers from Wilkerman. So I think he's another guy that could potentially be moving up, you know, over the next couple of weeks as we, you know, sort of slightly rearrange our rankings in our team lists. So yeah, Gonzalez is definitely a name that I think is pretty exciting as well. I don't know if how are these guys showing up on RoboScout? I would imagine probably pretty well.
Yeah, so high A, Wilkelman Gonzalez is 11th. Everything you said is obviously popping. He does have a high walk rate on the season. It's in double digits, and so that is kind of throttling his value back a bit. That's Wilkelman Gonzalez. But yeah, I mean, the K rate, 37%, good swinging strike rate, etc. He's only 21. So yeah, he's good. So he was 11th, I said. Alex Pham is just below. He's at 19, above Drew Thorpe of the Yankees, who's been getting some buzz, and just below Carson Ragsdale and Yu Min Lin, who have also been getting some, I guess, Twitter sphere mentions. So yeah, they're all kind of top top 20 pitchers in high A. I mean, and they're in the other people in the top 20 in high A are Chase Hampton, Kate Horton, AJ Smith-Shawver for his brief stint, Chase Petty, Marco Raya, Tink Hentz, Ronan Kopp. So these are, you know, a who's who of kind of the guys getting a lot of buzz as pitchers. So yeah, Alex Pham kind of lost in that and didn't realize how well he was doing. His walk rate's a bit high too. It's just above 10% as well, but you know, he's getting a lot of whiffs, like you said, and his stuff plus is pretty good too.
Yeah, he was just an interesting name that I wasn't familiar with. I think I have some video up on Twitter too. If you search Alex Pham, you'll find him up there. I'm sure he's there as well. The other one that I wanted to bring up too, I guess we're really hyping up some Mets guys here, is Tyler Stewart. Tyler Stewart has pitched really well so far this season with Brooklyn. He's made 12 starts. 62 innings, 1.44 ERA, 78 strikeouts to 20 walks over that time period. I don't know how he's showing up on RoboScout as well, but Stewart is a really interesting one. He looks like he could potentially be a legitimate breakout. You know, I know he's 23, going to be 24, so he's a little bit older, but the numbers are good. The control numbers have been good too, so I would imagine he shows up highly.
He's actually not that high. I'm trying to find him. I'm scrolling down. I passed Christian Scott's high A numbers. Sorry, let me just do this filter here. Oh, there he is. He is, looks like, 80th.
Actually, wow.
Just behind Blade Tidwell.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I think it's because he's a bit older. RoboScout likes the younger guys, obviously, because so you know, their aging curves will have their peaks higher and stuff.
Sure,
of course. So I think a 23-year-old should be more, or RoboScout would like a 23-year-old to be more dominant at high A, in order to really pop and be considered a premium prospect. But
you'd have to have a zero ERA over 62 innings.
Exactly, something like that.
He's 6'9", Robo Scout. Give him a break. It takes those guys a little longer to get it all together, but he's had a pretty big jump and hadn't really, you know, he was a sixth rounder last year, so he didn't have a whole lot of pro experience either. So I'm not as scared off by the age here so much. I think this is a very interesting one and a potential breakout. There's whiffs. There's ground balls as well. So he's somebody that, I don't know, Dylan's is a guy that's a player that caught my eye, so to speak, if that's okay by you. I'm kind of interested in Tyler Stewart and the fact that he's 6'9" and, you know, out there competing and throwing strikes and getting outs and, you know, the whole nine. And I mean, you know, it's not like he doesn't have stuff. I mean, like, not the craziest stuff on earth, but you know, 93 to 95, touch 96. It's kind of a funky fastball shape because of his arm slot, but you know, interesting slider. Like, it's kind of an interesting pitch mix. Not huge stuff, but he's executing with it, and it's not like he throws soft. So I don't know, Dylan. Might be a little bit of an off the radar guy for us.
Do you have him higher or lower than Blade Tidwell?
I think I'd have him higher than Tidwell just in terms of like starting. I saw Tidwell. I've done some work on Tidwell and it's fine. It's really powerful stuff. It's not like it's, you know, crazy shape or anything like that. I worry about the command a little bit. It's really violent delivery, et cetera. So sort of, there you go. I'd have him higher.
I was setting you up for that. I had a feeling you'd say that, and I wanted to get you your bordering on hot take that Tyler Stewart's ahead of Blake Tidwell.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe that's a hot take, but I think I prefer Tyler Stewart, frankly. Like I said, I know it's not crazy, crazy stuff, but he throws hard enough that I'm still interested. And like I said, sort of an interesting arm slot, all that sort of thing that makes these guys tick. So some interesting pitching prospects actually in the Mets system right now, and you factor in Mike Bastel and some others. So There we go.
And now Coleman Crowe in that in the Eduardo Escobar trade.
That's right. That's right. They acquired Coleman Crowe. So that was kind of an interesting interesting little trade. Wonder how Coleman Crowe's going to look in Binghamton when he doesn't have the ride ball any longer and what the impact is going to be. That would be an interesting topic to potentially look at. Any other pitching prospects or names that you wanted to highlight? You know, non-complex guys you wanted to highlight?
You don't like my complex guys?
No, I do. I do. I was just trying to switch it up, man. You know, throw the people a different type of a bone, a little different flavor. We gave them chocolate. We're giving them, you know, a little strawberry.
I'm trying to look here. What do I have? Let's see, double A, but some names here that I haven't really touched on. I did mention Connor Cook a couple weeks back. You tweeted about him as well, a reliever for the Jays whose stuff is kind of filthy. Another reliever I'm talking about here, so maybe not the most fantasy relevant, but I think someone who's going to make an impact for the major league team at some point in the next year or so. And maybe in a high leverage role. He, even though he's a reliever, and relievers in RoboScout get a ding because, you know, their K rates and stuff are kind of artificially inflated because they can just air it out. He's still like just behind Ben Brown and ahead of Gavin Williams, the Gavin Williams I keep talking about today. So he's someone who's very interesting. He's only 23. His strikeout rate is, you know, 45%, his walk rate's 10%. But yep. You know, if you're a reliever, that'll work. So yeah, he's someone whose stuff is really popping that I really like, that maybe isn't so on the radar for everyone. There's also Jacob Lopez, who has been in the double A top ranks for a while, but he's been in triple A for a while and hasn't really done as well, but he looked pretty good there in double A. And he may make it up to the major league club at some point this year, the way the Rays are churning bullpen arms in and out of their major league club. But yeah, I think those are some other names that maybe are a bit off the radar from RoboScout. Jacob Lopez for the Rays and Connor Cook for the Jays.
Yeah, I like Connor Cook a lot. I think he can be an elite reliever, one of the better relievers in baseball within a couple of years. I think his stuff is that good. Had a conversation with an analyst this weekend that kind of echoed that those same sentiments. This particular analyst thought this guy was a potential standout and, like, you know, might be somebody that's going to be asked about in trades coming up with Toronto. I'm going to get a look at Isaac Coffey actually tomorrow. He's going toe-to-toe with Chad Dallas, who's kind of been a bit of a pop-up this year. I know neither are these standout star arms or anything, but guys who have performed this year, who are in the upper minors, that, you know, maybe they got a chance. So I'm always interested to catch a couple of new arms that have been putting up numbers. You know, Adam Klofstein, I'll see the following day, another guy that's been putting up some numbers. So I'll also see Marcelo Mayer, Dylan. So this is my first actual full look at Marcelo Mayer. And then the following week, I'm going to see him out in the futures game, which of course is coming up. We'll be out there with some live coverage. We're going to have a live prospect pad. So we're going to actually be streaming the prospect pad for the entire 6 hours, interviews with prospects. We have JJ, we have Jen Brown of UFC and a bunch of other sporting event stuff. I think she's a two-time sports Emmy winner. She's actually going to be involved in this too. So I'm looking forward to see how it's going to be interesting. Going to be out there for the draft too. The plan is that we are going to have Carlos on probably early next week. So it might be, you know, a little bit more of a, this comes out on a Thursday, the next podcast comes out on a Tuesday sort of situation, but we're going to have Carlos on to talk a little draft coming up to the draft, leading up to the draft, maybe some of the top FYPD names to know, Dylan. I think that could potentially be interesting too. Anything you want to sort of add here? Any topics you wanted to discuss? Anything like that? Otherwise, we can wrap this sucker up.
No, I'm really looking forward to the All-Star break, the draft, the prospect pad, all that stuff. Futures game, that is sort of Baseball America's bread and butter. That's the climax of the season almost. So I'm really looking forward to that. And having Carlos on our podcast is going to be fire as well with all his draft insights. So really looking forward to that. Is that going to be 4th of July that we release that? So it's going to be a real celebration.
Yeah, that's true. That would be 4th of July, wouldn't it? So I don't know. Maybe we'll hold it off until next Thursday too. Maybe Thursday becomes our day. But you know, I don't know. We could, of course, release it on Wednesday. We'll figure it out. I don't know, Dylan. I don't think about these things. I just show up and I talk. That's what I do. All right. I am Jeff Ponce. He is Dylan White. This was the Baseball America Fantasy Prospect Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Like, rate, subscribe, tell your friends, download it, you know, whatever else you want to do with it. But we appreciate your listening and your support.
Cheers.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.